In front of you once was an architectural marvel of the American colonies, a wide wooden bridge at least 400 feet long. Rising to about 12 feet above the water, it had a tower partway across, closer to the far bank. This could lift two sections of the deck using chains and pulleys, creating a 30-foot gap. Built in 1768, it was the first drawbridge in the Carolinas, and possibly only the second in England's American colonies. The Duplin Road from Wilmington crossed the river via the bridge. It continued up a causeway to the north across a quarter-mile marsh, likely buried within the current I-40 causeway. Scottish visitor Janet Shaw crossed it in 1775 and said the bridge, "though built of timber, is truly a noble one. It opens at the middle to both sides and rises by pulleys so as to suffer ships to pass under it." As the war shifted from South to North Carolina in early 1781, British Major James Craig moved a small corps up the Cape Fear River to occupy Wilmington. There, Craig learned a Patriot part-time militia army under Brigadier General Alexander Lillington was camped on the hill north of Heron's Bridge, across the river, and that several vessels loaded with provisions and other stores had gone up the river with them. Though unclear on how many men he would face, he brought his force here to capture the boats. Lillington placed troops on the bridge and the causeway. Somewhere in the distance to your right, probably between the modern highways, Craig halted his corps of 250 with two small cannons after dark. He planned a surprise attack for 4 a.m. on Tuesday, January 30, 1781. He sent out men to capture any Patriot or Whig sentries in the area. However, a patrol of six Whig horsemen came down the road and surprised British guards there. These pickets were forced to open fire. Knowing this alerted the Patriot camp, Craig had his men move forward. A line of Patriots was at the base of the bridge. The Redcoat infantry formed a line across from them. The Patriots fired a volley. Captain Colebrook Nesbitt was hit by two bullets, but he and another captain led the British forward, likely with bayonets. The militia broke for the rear across the bridge. In their panic, they made a critical mistake. They failed to raise the drawbridge. From here you could have seen, or at least heard in the dark, men running across the bridge right to left shouting that the British were coming. Craig ordered his men to keep going. Imagine running more than the length of an American football field in the dark, after a 10-mile march with a heavy gun and knapsack, unsure of what is waiting you on the other side. The militia camp was on relatively level heights past the marsh on either side of the Duplin Road. Perhaps the Patriots fired their one small cannon, but quickly the camped militiamen panicked and bolted, many of them straight up the road. A running firefight continued for some distance. At least three Patriots were killed and 7 to 8 captured. The British only suffered 8 wounded, per Craig. One source, based on veteran statements, reports, the British captured a number of weapons and canteens in the camp along with an iron 3-pounder, which they disassembled and tossed into the nearby northeast Cape Fear River. If so, the cannon has never been found. After waiting for a counterattack that never happened, the British crossed back to the south side to camp for the night. Craig says they seized the boats the next day. The two largest, loaded with ammunition, were burnt, and the rest were taken to Wilmington. The ammunition loss would haunt the Whigs for months, as you'll see. Most sources suggest they set the bridge afire, but didn't stick around long enough before marching back to Wilmington. It only partially burned, allowing it to become a thorn in Craig's side the rest of the year. Craig does not have enough troops to keep the Patriots away from the bridge. At some point, he places a small detachment to keep an eye on them. Indeed, Lillington eventually came back and reoccupied his camp. He started out with as many as 800, too many for Craig to assault, but for some reason, Lillington never attacked the British. Please follow the driving instructions below Second Battle, if you wish, and then continue to its audio clip.